Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
Episode 4, NYG Weekly. It's Ethan and Weiss coming at you once again. Three down, one to go before the regular season. We're excited to get into it. Let me start the podcast off with a little bit of housekeeping, a few notes. One, thank you to everyone last week who retweeted the podcast. We greatly appreciate it. I promised some shout-outs. Let me do them real quick. Shout-out to Ryan Disdier, Kyle Forsini, at Nunu12, McClutherness, Chris Howard, Germ, Scuba Steve, My Problematic Bay, Lauren Jaffe, White Lightning, NY Tall People, Brian Wojtanik, Dan Grogan, Lex, and Maddie Gordon. Thank you all for retweeting the episode. Number two, we're now on iTunes, finally. You guys have been asking me for weeks. We're finally up there. When we tweet this link out, the iTunes subscription link will be there. Please subscribe. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. I can't emphasize it enough. Please subscribe. Number three, I'll probably do the same thing I did last week in terms of the shout-outs. But guys, if everyone who listens to this podcast, you're all Giants fans, you got a friend who's a Giants fan, say, hey friend, I know these two guys, Ethan and Weiss, they do a great podcast. Here's the iTunes link. You should subscribe and listen. If every single one of you gets one more person to listen, we've just doubled our listenership. So spread the word, let everyone know, and that's about it. All right, let's get into the real podcast, the meat and potatoes. Weiss, what's going on? How's it going?
What's going on, Ethan? How you doing? How's everything?
I am great. So we're going to take a little bit of a different approach to this week's podcast just to see if it yields a different result or if it turns out better. We're just going to answer the questions as we go because I feel like by the time we get to the end of the podcast, we've already kind of answered most people's questions. So obviously the big topics this week are about BD, the offensive line. So let me scroll through some of the questions here. Joseph Bulger asked, is BD competition for Flowers at any point this season, or does competition not apply to the left tackle position? We also had Kyle Forsini who asked, how much does will BD affect the play of the offensive line? Will he improve pass blocking or run blocking? And let me see if we have any more offensive line questions out. We got one from Max Gironda. Are the Giants going to go back to the original plan of BD on the left side and move Flowers to the right? One more offensive line question for MVP Kills. Any possibility that Jeff Schwartz is re-signed and will BD be a starter come week one? Wow. All right. A lot of offensive line questions. Weiss, who do you want to start?
We'll start with the first one. What was the question again, if you can repeat it?
It was, is BD competition for Flowers at any point?
At any point, possibly. If Flowers struggles more or is more inconsistent and BD kind of still plays like that 2014 Will BD, there is a strong possibility that the Giants move BD to the left side. But right now, I think he's going to be competing for the right tackle position.
Agree. I don't think they would have brought him back if it wasn't kind of a given that he would be competing against Marshall Newhouse on the right side. There are a few things to keep in mind with the Will BD signing. One is that. It's that I don't think they would have brought him back if he said, no, I want to play left tackle. The second thing to keep in mind is that Will BD hasn't played right tackle since his rookie season in 2009. So it may take some adjustment, especially considering the fact that he hasn't played in any of the preseason games and was injured most of last season. So there's going to be an adjustment period for him, no doubt. I think it at least creates competition for Marshall Newhouse on the right side. Newhouse now knows he has stunk so badly that it warranted Jerry Reese going out and getting help. And in terms of how it helps the offensive line, I think it only really helps in pass protection. You know, Will Beattie was never a road-grading offensive lineman. He was kind of quick feet, great pass blocker. And that's where he excelled when he was with the Giants a couple years ago. Also, to add on to that, you know, running to the left side of the line was never a problem. Eric Flowers, known for being a good run blocker. He's a bulldozer. Pugh is a great player. Richburg, one of the best centers in the league. So running to the left has never been a problem. I don't think it's going to improve any of the running to the right side. I do think it'll give Eli Manning more time to throw the ball.
Yeah, and you talked about BD's experience on the right side. Will Beattie in his career has had 63 starts. Four of them have been at right tackle.
Wow.
So, you know, he doesn't really have a lot of experience there. But, you know, I think we can all agree that having Beattie there is better than not having Beattie there. He'll definitely compete. I think he'll have to show that he's capable of being a lineman. He's going to have to stay healthy. And I think he'll be the starter. I think the hope is possibly to get him ready by week one. But I think we'll see him more in the starting lineup by week two or three. And again, like you said, pass blocking is his specialty. Run blocking is not. So the Giants will continue to run to the left side. And it shouldn't be a problem for them, in my opinion, if Pugh is there along with Richburg and Flowers.
Right. Now, to add on to the offensive line question, this one was from my DMs, Bobby Mack. Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Jerry, Hart, Newhouse, Beattie. Which ones do you see starting week one? No specific positions. I think the line will stay as is, to be honest. I think Will Beattie has missed too much preseason to come in off of no training camp, no preseason games, injured most of last season. So I think the line stays as is until Beattie is well enough to hop back into the lineup and then play right tackle. Obviously, Bobby Hart has been a disappointment, at least in the eyes of Jerry Reese. You know, he's struggled at left guard when he's been filling in for Justin Pugh. He was supposed to compete for the right tackle job. He didn't do a great job there. Obviously, he was playing behind Marshall Newhouse all of camp. So I think it stays as is, but I do think Beattie will overtake Newhouse for the starting position.
Yeah, and as much as we criticize Newhouse, having Newhouse as kind of that swing tackle will definitely also help as well, because I don't think Newhouse is a starting caliber offensive lineman, but a depth guy, you can definitely have him on the roster. He's definitely good enough to be on a roster, a depth position. So I think that will help as well. And then also, let's say hypothetically Flowers gets hurt, you can just move Beattie to the left side and not mess up that interior offensive line and have Pugh having to jump outside. So again, it helps on all sides of the board when you look at it in terms of the offensive line. And I don't think that they're done yet. I think that they'll still look to outside for help. I think possibly one or maybe even two offensive linemen, maybe a tackle and a guard, maybe two guards. So we'll see. And maybe even a backup center. There's a couple centers out there that are got released. So don't be surprised if they try to sniff around for a backup center.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with the versatility issue, where if Flowers does happen to go down, shift Beattie back over to his natural position, and then you're really, I mean, you can't really get much worse in pass protection than Flowers right now. So offensive line starting to shape up with bringing Beattie back, but like you said, I think they'll start to make improvements. Any more notes on the offense? I know you mentioned Victor Cruz earlier. We didn't get any Victor Cruz questions. We have one catch for 4 yards, and he stayed healthy, so I'd call that a successful preseason game.
Yeah, and I think there was a question about Jeff Schwartz. Do I think the Giants will bring him back? I don't.
I think there's some bad blood there.
I think so, too. I think that they're with Beattie, you know, Beattie, I mean, it's kind of written on the wall. You know, they had Flowers. They were sticking to Flowers, the left tackle. Beattie, who was, you know, 31, not the old, but not too old, still could be able to test the market and get that left tackle money. So he tested the market, wasn't able to get a suitor for him. So he was the one that actually came back to Jerry Reese and kind of hashed things out, and then it worked out for both sides.
I think, now I don't know if this is, I don't know, you know what, this is not a hot take. This is a pretty rational take. My hopes for this past offseason was that they would keep Jeff Schwartz. You know, listen, it's not like the dude, I mean, you know, he got injured, but it's not like a nagging injury. It's not a hamstring, okay? This is just, it happens. You're an offensive lineman, you get banged up. Obviously, both injuries that he suffered were fairly significant, but I was hoping they would have kept him and used him as a recruiting tool to bring over his brother Mitchell to play right tackle for the Giants. That didn't happen. I think there's a little bit of bad blood. I don't expect Schwartz back. I know the Lions need some offensive line help. I know the Saints need some offensive line help. So I think that's where they'll look.
And for those saying that Beattie was kind of wary, understand Beattie had a market. You know, there were teams out there looking for Beattie. Carolina, Arizona, New Orleans. I know Baltimore sniffed around. Philly was interested. So, you know, there were people wanting Beattie services. So you can't say that, you know, it was – you can't – you have doubts of, oh, maybe Beattie's, you know, too old or, you know, whatever. He did have a market, so for him to come back, I think is definitely a good thing.
Yeah, agree. I mean, listen, he passed his physical, and then they rushed him to the hospital for special surgery to make sure that everything with his pec was in order. So, you know, he's healthy.
Yeah.
All right. More offensive questions. This one's from Dan Grogan. Assuming he's healthy, how much does Will Johnson actually help us when it comes to our inability to block on offense? I'll let you handle this one because you are a big Will Johnson guy.
Yeah, I'd like Will Johnson. I think he's, like I repeated the last two podcasts.
Yeah.
He's the most, in my opinion, the most complete, not the best, the most complete tight end the Giants have on this roster. He can block. He can catch passes out of the backfield. If you haven't watched a lot of them, go back and watch them last year with the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell is a really good running back, but a lot of Le'Veon Bell's success was because of Will Johnson's blocking. So I think he's going to help a lot. And I think getting him healthy is the most important thing. And he will help the blocking tremendously. I can't say that he's going to make, you know, worlds of difference and he's going to be, you know, we're going to have a great protection for Eli Manning, but I definitely think it's going to be a big help.
Agree. Let's keep talking about the offense. There was one question that I got, and it's something that I wanted to address. This one's from Jackson Burner. I want more creativity with formations, player placement on field. Can you touch on new exotic offensive looks we could see? All right, guys, listen. The offense looks like poop right now, okay? I'll give you that. It looks horrible. Eli's got no time. This is the preseason. This offense that they're running right now looks nothing like the offense that was number 6 in the league in, was it yards and scoring last year? Okay? Ben McAdoo is experimenting. He needs to see what his guys are able to do. They said they wanted to go and use the deep ball more this season. They've tried. They have been successful because they can't block, and that's probably one of the reasons they brought Beattie back. So, listen, they're experimenting this preseason, and if you think about the offense last year compared to this year, you have an offensive line that didn't get any worse, okay? It was bad. There's no way it got worse. Hopefully you start to see some improvements. But now you're replacing Sterling Shepard with, replacing Reuben Randall with Sterling Shepard. You have Cruz back. You don't really know what he can do yet, but at least he's there. It's going to be, in my opinion, a better offense than last year, but it's going to be similar. You know, you got these quick dump-offs, these quick slants, and now you have a second receiver in Sterling Shepard who excels at that. So I think you're going to see a lot of that, a lot of the same of last year. But I think Sterling Shepard helps open up the top for the Giants to utilize the deep ball if they can hold the block long enough. So yeah. I think people are overreacting. The offense is going to be fine.
It's going to be fine. I have no worries about it. Obviously, with Beattie coming back in, it's definitely huge, I think, especially if Beattie can be his old self or even a little bit of his old self. But I think that, like you said, you got – Odell Beckham, you got Sterling Shepard, you got, you know, Victor Cruz, depending on what Victor Cruz we get. You got Shane Vereen out of the backfield. You got, you know, Will Tye in another year. You got, you know, Rashad Jennings. So there's pieces around for this offense to be as good as what it was last year. It's all about pass protection. If they're able to protect for Eli Manning and he doesn't have to go to the dump offs really quickly like he had to do in that game against Philadelphia. And that's when Philadelphia last year on Monday Night Football, you know, went in on those slants and on those quick releases and was able to take the Giants offense off their rhythm. Now, if he's able to get that proper pass protection, I mean, listen, you can double Beckham, you can't cover Shepard.
Exactly.
You know, so they had, there's, if he has time, if Eli Manning has time, they are going to be fine. I can promise you that. But I still think they have to be able to run the football better.
Absolutely. Especially with Will Johnson, and you'll see more creativity, I promise.
And you're going to see, listen, with Lacoste going down and with Malik going down and
right.
on IR, Jarrell Adams is going to get more opportunities too. He's known for being a good blocker as well. So you add him to the mix, you know, the more the merrier in terms of blocking at this point, right?
Right. I mean, listen, you throw in Will Johnson, you throw in Jarrell Adams in a double tight end set, if you will, you know, Will Tye and Larry Donnell stink. They can't block. So,
no, they can't.
So it's good to have a tight end who can. Let's transition over to the defense a little bit. We got this question from James Castaldi. Who covers Des Moore, DRC, or Jackrabbit? Also, do you think week 1 is a must-win for a good season? You're playing against two rookies in Dak and Zeke. brings up a couple of good points. I think it's going to be DRC on Dez. I think he likes to play physical and takes fewer risks than Jackrabbit does. So I like DRC to cover him. You're not going to have Eli Apple, the rookie, do it. And I'd prefer Jackrabbit plays opposite DRC.
I think it's going to be all three of them. I think you might get Eli Apple in them a couple plays. You might get DRC. You might get Janoris Jenkins. The thing about Dez is anytime you're going up against a receiver like Dez Bryant or of that caliber, you really can't stop him from making plays, but you can try to contain him. So it's going to be a team effort in terms of the defensive backs against Dez. DRC has done a good job on him in the past, but Dez Bryant is going to make plays. It's going to be how the Giants stop the other guys. That's going to be more important. And you talked about a must-win. I know it's just week one, but given this team's history against the Cowboys and given the Cowboys situation right now in terms of the suspended players, the injured players, the big one being Tony Romo, I'm looking at this game being a must-win. Because for their psyche and their confidence, if they can beat Dallas, I think even though it's just the first game, I think it'll help them going forward. So I would look at this game and say it's a very important game. Must-win, I don't like to use must-win this early in the season, especially week one. But given the history against the Dallas Cowboys the past couple of years, given what happened last year in week one, this is very important. I think that they will win the game. It's an early prediction.
I do too.
I think they're going to win the game.
Listen, people are going to be like, oh, you guys are overreacting. You're freaking out. This is as close to a must-win game as season openers come.
Yeah, just look at last year's season opener.
Not only that, you look at historically against the division. The Giants are like 2-10 in their last 12 against division rivals. It's not just the Cowboys. You know, they stink against everyone, and it would be good not only for a brand new defense to get out there and get a win immediately, but it would be good for McAdoo as a first-time head coach to get out there. It's a confidence builder.
You look at their schedule. They got Dallas, backup quarterback, New Orleans, struggling defense, Washington, you know, division game. Then you're at Minnesota, who now lost Teddy Bridgewater, unfortunately. So you look at that schedule and you say, you know what, these are all winnable games before that big showdown against the Packers. So it would be nice to see the Giants 3-1, possibly 4-0, going into that big showdown with the Packers. So I think you start with the Cowboys, you're able to beat the Cowboys, then you go to the Saints. That's a game you're expected to win. Now obviously, we know what happens when the Giants are expected to win a game.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a new era. And I think to start off this new era, I think that this game, given the history, I think it's a must-win for the Giants, especially with no Romo and no other players that the Cowboys are missing and could miss. Now we're hearing Sean Lee's got a knee issue.
Yeah.
So we just don't know how good this Cowboy team is going to be. So unfortunately, with their injuries, it is the perfect time for the Giants to take one on the road in the division.
Yeah, I mean, it's time to stop being victimized by the injuries and take advantage of those who are injured.
I said it before. I said this team has got enough talent to win the division with a healthy Romo or without a healthy Romo. I think I don't want to make this statement because I don't want to make it seem like it's all on this game, but my confidence will go way down if they lose to the Cowboys week one.
Okay. That's not an unfair statement. Let's pick one more question. Sorry, Mark, I don't want to answer your practice squad question. We're going to do...
Yeah, what's up with that practice squad question?
I don't get it. Mark, I mean, come on, man. You asked it like 3 weeks in a row. I don't want to pick out 10 not exciting players to talk about.
I mean,
you said it. Listen, practice squad. We could talk about more exciting things at the moment than that. All right, let's do this one from Nick Becht. With Cruz healthy, how does that affect Sterling Shepard's development, playing time, etc.? It really doesn't.
Not at all.
Yeah. I mean, we really are yet to see what Cruz can do because he got very limited action in preseason game number 3. We kind of know what Shepard can do. He's very versatile. So I think, you know, they'll use him deep. They'll use him short slants. You know what? All right, I'm going to say this because I told my dad this the other day, and I'm predicting it right now, and this is going on the record, on the podcast, so everyone can at me when this happens. We are going to see – now, this is assuming Tavares King makes the roster. We are going to see at some point this season a double reverse with Odell Beckham and Tavares King. You can book it. You can tweet it. You can favorite it. You can mark it in your calendar. It's going to happen, and it's going to be fantastic.
Well, there's your trick play then.
Exactly.
I've asked about the trick play. There's your trick play. It's not going to – if anything, it's going to help Sterling Shepard because Victor Cruz will garner even him not being 100%. It'll open things up for Sterling Shepard if they move, you know, Cruz outside, put Shepard in the slot, Shepard against a third cornerback. I mean, you know, it helps throughout the table. And they play three wide receiver sets a lot.
The Giants are going to be unguardable when they have
even
Cruz,
last year,
Beckham,
even, I mean,
Shepard, and Vereen.
Last year when they didn't have this much firepower, they were playing three wide receiver sets. With Odell Beckham, Ruben Randle, Dwayne Harris, Odell Beckham, Ruben Randle, Miles White, you know, so it's going to help more than it's going to
be impossible to cover everybody on this offense at once.
Yeah, it all goes back to pass protection. If they can pass protect, they got people that can catch the ball.
Absolutely. I think their red zone play is going to be much improved this year. Way more weapons. And if Larry Donnell can catch a ball without immediately falling down, I think we'll see a better red zone efficiency as well.
I got a question for you, Dean. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Put me on the spot.
We didn't rehearse this. We didn't talk about this before. If the 49ers release Colin Kaepernick.
No.
You don't want him on your team?
No. And it's not because of the anthem thing. He just stinks.
Do you think he's better than Ryan Nassib?
Do I think he's better than Ryan Nassib? Oh, I'd say it's really close. They're very different.
If Eli Manning went down, you have more confidence in Ryan Nassib or Colin Kaepernick?
Colin Kaepernick.
If Ryan Nassib goes down, you got more confidence in Mark Sanchez or? Excuse me. If Eli Manning went down, you got more confidence in Sanchez or Nassib?
Sanchez or Nassib. Nassib.
Wow. I mean, it is kind of sad that Sanchez lost his job to a guy that
had more interceptions than touchdowns in his senior year at Northwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah. I will say this, and it's something that I've pointed out in any of the blogs that I've written and things that I've tweeted out. The first team offensive line that can't block for Eli Manning, can you imagine how bad Ryan Nassib feels behind the second and third stringers? I mean, listen. He hasn't played well by any means.
Yeah, they didn't. But the second team offensive line did really well again last week against the Jets. They all graded out positive on Pro Football Focus. But yeah,
and Nassib didn't play that poorly for the second half.
No, he didn't. He had those two touchdown passes.
When you have blocking time, I'm not saying we should totally write off his bad performance in preseason 1 and 2. But listen, if Eli Manning can't do it behind the first team, you expect Ryan Nassib to have much success with the second and third stringers? I don't think so.
And if Eli Manning gets hurt, God forbid.
God, knock on wood.
If it would probably be because of a missed block by somebody and Eli would take just a mean shot like he did against the Jets.
Yep.
I think that after that play, don't you think the people, the owners, the front office were sitting up there like, you know what, we're paying this guy $20 million. You know, this is our franchise quarterback. We got to get him some offensive line help.
Yeah, about time.
Think Will Beatty's sitting at home and he was like, man, I just saw, you know, Eli's a nice guy. He's probably still friends with Will Beatty. You think he was like, Will Beatty was sitting at home like, man, my good friend just took a bad shot. You know, I gotta get out there and I gotta help him, you know? Listen, you know, this team, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
Hey.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, you can't get much worse than what you already got. BD probably sitting at home in his pajamas saying, you know what, this is ridiculous. Get Jerry on the phone.
Yeah. I got to get out there, man. I got to go help my friend Eli out.
Absolutely. All right. Those are all the questions we had. Is there anything that we didn't touch on that you want to touch on? Whether it's the next preseason game. Because I believe, will be out on Friday morning. So we will have Played preseason game number 4, but I'm really not expecting any sort of developments to occur tomorrow.
No, I mean, I think we're going to see Victor Cruz. We might see the first team offense. I don't know if we're going to see Odell Beckham or Eli Manning, but I think we'll see the offensive line. I don't think we'll see Will Beatty. It wouldn't be too smart to put him out there without any real practice time. But I think we'll see Victor Cruz a little bit. We'll definitely see Sterling Shepard some more. The fourth preseason game, you're just looking to fill the role of the roster. And the one thing I will say, compared to the last 2 years, to this year, we have much more of a clear mindset on who the starters are going to be.
Right.
In the previous years, we're going into the fourth preseason game, we will know who the starting safety is, the starting linebacker is, the starting, you know, right tackle is. Now we got a clear understanding of where this team's headed. So you got to be very happy about it. You know, you like what you see. Hopefully Darian Thompson can get back out there, although I thought Nat Burry played well.
Played very well.
Yeah, so this fourth preseason game, I think it's all about seeing those role players, those position battles. You know, Tavares King versus Roger Lewis. Will Ty versus Larry Donnell. Can Jarrell Adams get into the mix? Those second and third string defensive ends. Aguara, Wynn, We want to see them make plays.
Kerry Wynn had a fantastic game.
He did. He got better at rushing the passer, too.
Absolutely. And that was his main weakness. He was incredible in run defense.
How about that interception? Did you see that move he
did? I loved it.
Oh, my goodness.
He looked like a running back. He looked quicker than Andre Williams.
Yeah, he did. He made it. That was a hell of a play, man.
It was great.
I thought it was Olsi for a second, but Olsi didn't have moves like that either.
No, listen, we had the same concern. We were a little worried about defensive end depth, and those worries are starting to be put to bed.
Yeah, I mean, the Kerry Wynn and Owe, they're both, making plays, and you got this guy from Notre Dame, Aquara.
Yeah.
I mean, so they're building depth there, a little bit inexperienced, but, all you got to do is get to the quarterback, right?
And the thing to keep in mind, and it's something that I quickly started to realize after preseason game number 2, is that, once you realize that this isn't the offense they're going to be running, and it's going to be very similar to the one last year, and they have the potential to be even better than they were last year, and then you look at how well the defense is playing in preseason, you have the sort of pass rush that you didn't see at all last year. You've seen great safety play, whether it's from Darian Thompson or Nat Burhey. Landon Collins, the difference is night and day, folks.
Night and day.
This team is going to be, the defense is going to be great, and if the offense is even close to where it was last year, I mean, this team's going to be good.
This team is really, and you know what, I tweeted this out earlier, I was watching the Jets game. I didn't really watch it last Thursday. I wasn't watching it live. I was in and out. I was visiting family, so I wasn't really watching the game and tweeting live, but the one thing I saw from watching it yesterday, I watched it again, the game was the continuity on the defense. I expected this team to get by defensively just on pure talent because they had more talent.
Right.
So they were automatically going to be better. But we're seeing continuity, man. We're seeing talking. We're seeing, no mental mistakes. Nobody's missing their play. How many times last year, just think about it, did a guy miss
an assignment,
a play and somebody was open?
Yeah, all the time.
Just think about it for a second. Any game you want to pick from last year.
I mean, you heard it from
missing
the
assignments.
You heard it from the defensive ends themselves, or maybe it was the linebackers. Someone came out and said, we didn't start to feel comfortable with Spags defense until week 9. Week 9, that's preposterous. Now everyone's starting to feel comfortable. They had the full offseason. They got all preseason. So everything looks great.
And the linebackers, look, they don't have any, Pro Bowl caliber linebackers, but they got linebackers making plays.
Casillas.
Keenan Robinson's going sideline to sideline. If he can stay healthy, that's a average linebacker you got there.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, it's not – there's no really the weak link obviously is protecting the middle of the field still. But when you see guys making plays, you see Casillas making plays, that gives you confidence that, when we get to the quarterback, our defense is going to be okay. So you got to love what you're seeing. I'm very impressed with the defense. The continuity is just amazing. I knew this defense was going to be better just on talent because of all the people they signed, but
man. Yeah, I'm hoping. Listen, I've been very outspoken about thinking Spags was not a great defensive coordinator, but let's see what he can do with this squad of players this year.
One thing about Spags is I wasn't a big fan of him too. The hire, we talked about this, last year, but Spags got creativity. So when he has talent, we've seen what he can do with talent. So when he gets creative in those blitz packages, he can really, he'll dial up some nice blitzes. So he's creative in that sense. But like I said, you got firepower, man. You got P. Pierre Paul has had a great preseason, but we're just not realizing it because of how Olivia good Vernon. Olivia Vernon is. Jonathan Hankins is having a great preseason versus the run, but we're not realizing because of Damon Snacks Harrison.
Yeah.
Devon Kennard is playing much better, but we're not realizing it because we got Casillas.
Yeah, no, so, you know, these are incredible. Yeah, incredible
and,
point.
And how about the first round pick, Eli Apple? Man, look, I tweeted this out, I repeated it again. To me, outside of the quarterback position, cornerback is the toughest transition to make from college to pros. You can't do a lot of things to receivers that you can be able to do in college.
Right.
We knew about Eli Apple, and he's grabby and all that, more of kind of like that project type player that's going to have to develop.
Yeah.
But he's making that smooth transition. He's giving the Giants a good problem to have. They got three cornerbacks that they have to put on the field because they're all starting caliber cornerbacks.
Right.
Whereas last year, Hosley, Wade, Leon McFadden had to come in. So they have starting to develop depth. That's a good thing to have. That was one of the concerns. Where's the depth? But you're starting to see guys like Burhey and, you know, all these guys starting to step up and claim those role spots. So very positive. I'm really excited about this defense.
Me too. I just want week one to be here already.
Yeah, no injuries, no nothing. Let's get through this fourth preseason game. Get everybody start practicing next week. I love how they're being cautious with some of these guys.
Yeah, me too.
And let's get this show rolling, man. I'm excited. I'm ready.
Let's do it. All right. Let's end the show here. Guys, if you made it through the show, thank you. And again, subscribe, please. iTunes, hit that subscribe button.
Subscribe.
You know what? Exactly. And you know what we're going to do? I'm going to tweet this out when the episode comes out. The funniest comment on a 5-star rating on our iTunes channel will get read on the next show. How about that? If you're funny, you're going to get read. So go ahead, give us the rating, say something funny, or say something nice. If you don't want to be funny, just be like, hey, Ethan and Weiss. They're probably incredibly good looking and they're very knowledgeable. So go ahead, give us that rating. We'll tweet out the link. And thank you guys for listening. We'll speak to you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one. We'll see you guys as we get ready for week one.